Pickaxe.
Hey all, I'm Dr. Alok Kanoja, but the internet knows me as Dr. K. I spent 7 years studying to become a monk and then became a psychiatrist. I want to tell you a little bit about my podcast, Healthy Gamer GG, where we combine my clinical experience of practicing psychiatry and sprinkle in years of experience as a meditation teacher and sort of focus on spirituality. So on the podcast, we're going to approach very common everyday problems from each of these lenses. And what we really do well is blend science and spirituality to create the most accessible solutions for people for their everyday problems. So check us out at Healthy Gamer GG on YouTube, Spotify, or Apple.
Arc 2, Episode 60 of the Dungeons & Randomness podcast is brought to you today by Dungeon Junkies. You know, not every adventurer is cut out to be a hero, and there are a few podcasts that focus on that better than Dungeon Junkies. With a group of friends sitting around the table just playing the game of D&D, it's a story that sometimes focuses on laughs and failure over heroic conquest. So if you're looking for lighthearted questing, go check out Dungeon Junkies today wherever you get your podcasts. Previously for Group B, after getting their bearings in the town of Durn Hollow and setting a course for themselves with goals to accomplish, the first thing on their checklist seems to be trying to get Braylon's memories back. Sadly, this will involve delving into caves that aren't always friendly to outside adventurers, and that's where we're picking up things today. Let's do that thing where we go around the table and introduce ourselves. I'm Jason, I'm the Dungeon Master. Going around the table, start with Valerie.
Hi, I'm Valerie, and I play Elena, the human fighter.
And I'm a Sid Kelly. And Karen.
Hi, I'm Karen, and I play Callie, the elven druid.
And Ian.
Hey, I'm Ian. I play Chili Boy Calden Halek.
Oh, this is perfect. I'll follow up with Jamie, Chili Girl.
Hi, with no context, that might sound really weird. I'm Jamie. I play Tatiana, the human rogue.
And Jameson.
Hi, I'm Jameson. I play Larg, the half-orc paladin.
And Alex, who was late today.
No, I wasn't late, actually. I was second to late. Hi, I'm Alex, and I play Braylon, the halfling bard. And I wasn't late.
The clapback bard.
Before we get started.
I wasn't late.
I don't know what tonight's session's going to be, because this is the longest behind the scenes I think we've ever recorded, because we're all just a mess. So we do know that you guys are in for some good luck in some form or fashion today, because I had you roll to see what travel was going to be like your first couple of days on the road as you head south toward Esterholt, and you guys rolled a 17.
Nice.
Are you guys ready to see what the road gives you?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so everybody roll for initiative. And
awesome. Here we go.
No. I almost did it.
I flipped to my main page.
So, your first day on the road. It starts off pretty pleasant, right? It is the second of Faerûr. And the road south is... it's a long one to get to Esterholt. The way the road looks, basically, is it's kind of windy. You're going... you gotta cross this bridge out of Durn Hollow to head south, and then you basically have a choice to break west and head toward Overdale, or break south through the mountains and head toward Esterholt. It's going to be a long trek for you guys. You said that you wanted to try and keep an eye out for that cave, that cavern system. Eldenbright Cavern.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you guys are going to have a fairly uneventful day, your first day on the second. It is going to start raining a bit. And as we discussed, you guys are on foot again because of reasons.
Oh, right.
And eventually maybe you guys can get horses and stuff, but that's a bit pricey.
You seem to not be able to hold on to any beast of burden.
Yeah, it's a lot had to go wrong for you guys to lose those donkeys, basically.
Well, we had horses before, too, but we lost them also.
Oh, my God, you did.
Mm-hmm. That wasn't our fault. They got stolen.
That's not our fault.
Not our fault. Not our fault.
Okay. I feel like you guys say that a lot.
That's very
new. I say in real life and in the game. Thank you, Jason, for reminding me.
So it is going to start raining, and that's not very pleasant. And at the end of your first day, you're going to make it pretty far. So you are, if you're looking at the map, you're probably just past the D in Dern Hollow, like down the map a bit. So you guys are about a third of the way until you reach the mountains, and you're going to have to navigate that. That's a tricky area of the world. So making camp and resting for the day, I imagine you guys have a chance on the road to kind of catch up with each other. And I don't know what that would look like after the events of Dern Hollow. Maybe you guys can help me, like, fill in the gaps, because the life of an adventurer is kind of boring in a lot of spots. Like, it's lots of boredom punctuated with crazy amounts of danger for short periods of time, right? So, I guess, what do you guys think you're going to be talking about while you're just walking for 12 hours a day?
Probably Braylon would keep reading his journal because he wants to see what he can't remember, but still maybe pick up from the book. Just trying to recall stuff. He's like, oh, wow. And at one point, he'll get to the page about the ship and the demons. And he's going to be like, huh. He's going to keep reading. His eyes are going to get bigger. And then he's going to like stop for a second, lift up his shirt. And he's going to see all the scars. Oh! And then look up. And whoever's nearby, he'll probably like kind of grab their attention. So I would just say maybe Larg or something. Mr. Larg!
What?
Did you know I have these scars? He's going to be like pointing down his shirt underneath. Then we'll sit up.
He'll just kind of look for a second and then be like, yeah, you actually, you talk about those a lot.
Oh, wow. Well, I mean, they're amazing, but great. And a little smile kind of comes up in his face and he's going to put his shirt back down and keep reading the book.
He'll lean in a little bit and be like, girls like it when you talk about those.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah, awesome.
Now we got to get shirtless art done of Braylon.
Holding a rose in his mouth.
Yep, I think that's what the people want.
He's definitely flexing.
I think that at one point, Larg would have tried to catch up with Callie, either on the first or the second day of travel, something like that.
Okay.
he sort of just like jog up alongside her and be like,
sorry, like we're cruising in cars, you know, like,
well, yeah, in my mind, he like is walking at the back of the group. So, but yeah, he'll catch up alongside her and be like, so, I was going to ask you about this before, but everything went crazy. You said you had a twin.
Yeah, I have a twin sister, Ella, and I have an older brother, Flint.
Oh, wow. Where are they?
Back home in the Evergreen. They, I just had to do everything that I could, so I thought it would best if I did some traveling.
What do you mean?
Well, this whole curse thing, it's plagued my family for a long time, and sometimes it's hard to explain because we don't really know much or anything about it, and so sometimes it's easy to think that it doesn't exist, but, you know,
I have a few years left, and Flint has even less time, and I think they're both just in denial about everything that's going to happen, and I don't want to die, so I left because there wasn't any information where I was, and I have to think that somewhere, maybe a bigger city, they'll have something that could help.
Okay, so you're looking for them too.
Yeah, Flint turns 30 this year, so he doesn't have that much time left.
And it's the 30 is the curse?
Yeah, that's what I've dug up. I've found some notes from my mother and, you know, I found a couple of journals, and that seems to be the general time frame.
He'll kind of nod after a minute and he'll think about it and say, well, there's a pretty big library in Esterholt, so I think when we get there, we can look.
That would be really nice, because I should have looked when I was there the first time, but I was just so anxious to get to Winia Kiyosa. It sounded so fun. And when everything just happened in the woods with those assassins, I didn't know if I was going to get the opportunity to go back. So I hope they have something.
I hope so too.
She's going to smile at him like, thanks.
After like a full minute of silence and they're just still walking, he'll go, I have a twin too.
What?
Yeah. I haven't seen him in a few years, but yeah, I have a twin brother.
That's so cool. Are you guys not on speaking terms?
he'll look at the ground a little bit and he'll be like, well, we were really close for a long time, but we kind of had a fight a few years ago, and I haven't seen him since. We grew up together at the orphanage in Esterholt, actually.
Oh, wow. So it's kind of like a homecoming for you.
Yeah, kind of. It's been a few years, but, mm-hmm. You know, I was born in Donhurst, but I grew up in Esterholt and went back to Donhurst. So it's been a while since I've been there, but I don't think he'll be there.
No. Does he become a paladin like you?
No, I don't think so. He really liked the orc part of being a half-orc. And he'll kind of, like, he's got that scar on his throat from, I don't know, 2 days ago or whatever it was. But he'll kind of, like, pull down on the front of his armor, down a little bit past his collarbone. And you can see the very beginning of this, like, really big, deep scar across his collarbone that looks like it goes further down.
Mm.
And he'll be like, we had a pretty big fight.
I'm really sorry about that.
So I hope he's not there, if I'm being honest. But anyway, I'm glad that you have a better relationship with your twin.
Yeah, Ella's, you know, she's great. She just would rather be a little more ignorant to some things than I am. And I don't know, when I started doing my druidic magic, she didn't really want to follow me. She thought that it'd be easier to, you know, interact with people if we weren't any more different than we already were. People didn't really, because of the curse, they didn't really want to, you know, hang out with us too much. Curses, you can't catch them. They're not like diseases, but, you know, people fear what's different, and she didn't want to be any more different than we already were. So we're close, but you know, there's still a little bit of separation, which is hard sometimes.
He'll just kind of nod.
And then they awkwardly look away from each other.
And then just keep on walking.
So let's pick up on the third. You guys are going to have a completely uneventful evening. You're going to get some rest. You find a nice little spot, kind of tuck away from the rain. I'd say the rain's very steady, but light. It's not, you're not getting drenched. So you find a nice little place to kind of, it's dry. You set a little fire going. And for the first time in a while on the road, I'd say you guys have a very pleasant night. Like you all curl up, you wake up with the sun. It's beautiful. Third, a fairy yore.
I'm so anxious.
Why?
I don't know. Just the way you're talking.
It's good.
Do you remember how our last full day of D&D went?
Yes, yeah. I do. That's the problem. You guys are like abused puppies. Like you're every time I raise my hand, you flinch. That's not. Wow. It's wow. Okay. It's okay. Everything's gonna be okay.
Just need more treats, is all.
Yeah. Halfway through the third, I'm going to say it's probably a little afternoon. It's probably like that 1 to 2 o'clock time period. So several times throughout the day, whether people realize this or not, obviously adventurers stop and, you know, you grab a drink, you rest for a few minutes. You kind of take that 5-10 minute break because you're walking for 12 hours, give or take. That's not counting like, oh, let's stop for lunch or let's sit under this tree for a while or something like that. Like it's a lot of walking. It's one of the reasons adventurers who make it, probably one of their first investments is some sort of mode of transportation. Some like whether it's a wagon, whether it's horses, whatever.
Yeah, we tried that.
Well,
it wasn't second, for us.
Third time's the charm, actually, is what that's going to be. Well, okay. Let me ask a question. How often do you guys figure that you hunt? Because, okay, here's another thing about adventures. A lot of people resort to rations, dried meats, breads, things like that, baked goods that you can kind of shove in your pack. And obviously, the further away you get from towns, the worse things like breads and things get because they get stale after a while. But sometimes it's considered a healthy alternative to going out and hunting. Because it's nice to have a home-cooked meal out on the road. Like if you guys catch a deer, elk, boar, something like that, and you guys are roasting it over, even like a rabbit, something like that, you guys are roasting it over a fire. That's great. But you got to go out into the wilderness to get it. And sometimes you run into wildlife that you don't want to run into, right? Whereas if you stick to the main road and just eat rations, it's like canned chili, let's say.
So really? I'll bring that up right now in the middle of the
it'll sustain you. You're not gonna starve, but it's like, oh man, oh, you remember home cooked meals like that? So how often do you figure you guys go hunting? The answer to this question
is a trick.
No, it's not.
We're flinching.
No, look, okay. Whether you say lots or a little, you're facing two different doors right now. And which one you choose to walk through is completely up to you.
Well, this doesn't answer your question totally, but I just want to pose to the group. If they're, because Calden's not a hunter, but if someone's going out to hunt, he's probably would go with them. One, because there's stuff you want to meet. If you meet in the forest, you don't want to be alone. Mm-hmm. And two, he wants to practice.
Just, you know, squeeze a bird.
I mean, you're not wrong.
Squeeze a bird.
Yeah, Larg's not a hunter, so I feel like it's not up to him.
Yeah, I would say it's up to the discretion of our only huntress.
I was about to say, really? Yeah.
Yeah, but I feel like it's up to the group, though, to be like, How fresh do you want your food?
Aren't you management? Can't you just look? Make a call.
Too real. Too real. Well, actually, fun fact. So when I came back from my forced vacation, everyone was like, "I'm so glad you're back." Nobody wanted to be in charge while you were gone, and I was like, "Great."
Heavy doth the crown.
I would say, if I'm gonna make a decision about this, probably a little more than average time spent hunting.
Now,
but not a lot.
Okay.
In our defense, I guess, we did...
We're already building the case.
You are! I didn't do anything!
No, so we left Dern Hollow, like, 4 days ago, and then we came back. And now we just left Dern Hollow again.
Yes.
So at this point in our trip, I don't know if it would be necessary to hunt...
Oh, yeah. And again, this isn't about, you. Like, okay, I don't do the thing where I'm sitting there counting rations each day that you're on the road, unless you guys are stuck someplace for a really long time or out in the desert and need water. That's different. I know that you guys, whenever you stop in a town, you're restocking. You're getting dried meats and stuff. Like, general shops, that's probably one of the biggest things they sell are you guys got to eat. You know, water skins, all that stuff. Like, that's fine. This is more creature comfort, right? This is like, oh man, I could really use, like, yeah, like it's like, man, I could use a fresh salad, or man, I could use something, you know what I mean? Like stuff that you can't get when you're out on the road because, you know, you just, yeah. So, let's table that. Let's put that aside because that went nowhere. Let's.
Hold on, wait, I want to say one more thing. She would not suggest going hunting unless she, I'm like trying to figure out how to say this. She wouldn't do it if she was concerned about the area that they were in.
Okay.
Or if she had like observed tracks that could lead to big monster things.
Okay.
She's not going to do it if we rolled less than a 15.
Right. How's about this? How's about, we'll just table that. I basically wanted to know, would you be going out in the wilderness and stuff like that? And there's stuff to see. There's different things. But let's table that. Let's just come back to that another time. Again, you guys are taking multiple breaks throughout the day, and there's this beautiful little shady spot. It's about like 1:30, 2 o'clock, somewhere in there. So the sun's kind of behind you a little bit, and like it's this beautiful shady spot. There's a nice breeze. It stopped raining late last night, and it's just kind of been damp and soggy, but like in a lovely way. Like, you know, that springtime rain smell. Oh, it's fucking great. So you guys are sitting back and you're relaxing. You're off the main road a bit. Usually when you take a break, you're kind of off to the side near, you know, some rocks, tree, something like that. Sometimes you get lucky and there's like a little pond there and you kind of wash your face and refill your water skins and stuff. Can you all do me a favor and roll perception?
Oh, almost a crit.
Oh, goodness gracious.
That's both ends of the spectrum.
Callie, holy shit.
Yeah.
Plus seven?
Yeah. Wow, Callie.
I vote Callie, new team leader.
Wink.
Oh, you know what?
That's why you're the hunter.
We haven't had a team leader.
That was for days
yet.
No, it's a rotating thing.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a rule by committee, I believe, in this group. If you listen to our episodes historically, we vote. I feel like we vote a lot.
That's true. Yeah.
We thrive in chaos.
Potato, potato.
Callie's gonna spot something, because that is really high. And this was like shot in the dark, but like I wanted to see. That's a 26 though. Callie is going to spot something off in the distance. And it's not a sight that is like, oh my God, look at that. But it is curious. And it looks like about, I don't know, 100 feet away, somewhere in there. It looks like someone set up a tiny camp. But you're not going to see anybody there, but it does look like there are some possessions left behind.
Okay.
And again, it's not like it's... It doesn't stand out super... You're going to see what looks like someone set up a campfire, but, like, the fire's not lit anymore. And it looks like there's a bag or two over there, and it looks like there's a bedroll. From where you're standing, it looks like it's like, wow, it looks like someone's kind of got a camp set up, but I don't see anybody in the area.
Hmm.
And you're not going to hear anything either. It's actually pretty peaceful out in this field.
Okay. I think she... It's words. I can't even talk now. I think she would point it out to everybody and be like, "That's weird."
Well, I don't know. I don't know how I would move on it. I'm just like, I guess Brennan would look. Huh. I mean, if there's nobody there, it's like free, right?
I mean, I don't see anybody. Maybe they. Went to, like, relieve themselves or something.
Does it look like possessions that are, like, sacks and stuff? Or does it look like, does it look new or, like, somebody, it's been here a while, grass has grown over it or something?
From where you're standing, this looks fairly recent. It doesn't look like it's been exposed to too much weather. Like, if they set up camp, it may have been... after the rains last night?
Hmm.
Again, it's pretty tough to tell from this far out. Again, you're like 100 feet away, so...
Yeah.
You're kind of saying it's like, oh, there's a sack or two. There's definitely stuff over there. I just don't see anybody laying down or...
Braylon would look to Kelly. Do you want me to get a closer look, or do you want to get a closer look?
Hmm. Is it, like, the way we're going, or is it, like, off, out of the way?
It's out of the way, basically. It's oh. kind of, it's kind of, t- it's like, it's kind of a tucked, like, tucked away, like, it's out of the way like you guys are, but someone definitely set up, like, a camp to sleep there.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question. Like, is this uncommon? Like, it seems like this is something that we would have come across before. Like, oh, yeah, there's someone's camp, or, like... Oh, that person must have just left from there. Like, I don't... Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no. And that's... I guess this depends on your character's particular approach to this type of situation. Because a lot of people who are on the road are very much like, hey, mind your own business. That's not your camp. That's not your shit. Keep moving. Other people are kind of on the mindset that, like, if this stuff is abandoned... It's not doing that person any good anymore, and, I mean, we could always use the extra cash, or even if it does belong to somebody and they just left their camp for a bit, screw them. This is my stuff now.
Test.
So it depends.
Right. I think Callie would just be like, you know, I'm not going to go investigate it, but whatever you want to do, I'm not going to, like, stop you.
Well, maybe someone needs help. You never know. He's going to keep looking at it as he's talking, like, not even looking at her. You know, maybe I can help.
There's something shiny.
Food's going to go to waste. And as he's talking, he's going to keep walking towards it. You know, maybe they left something that they want returned to the next town in exchange for gold. And then as he keeps talking, he's going to quickly cast invisibility on himself.
Oh, my God.
Oh, the best things in life start off with invisibility, then thunderclap, then...
Combo breaker. Well, so I'm invisible right. now.
As Braylon is justifying it to himself, Larg's just kind of nodding in agreement, being completely like, yeah, that sounds legitimate. Maybe they need help.
So I'm invisible, and I'm going to walk to the camp. Sneakily.
Okay. So... As you approach this camp, you're going to notice a couple of things here. One, you're not going to see anybody here. As you approached, it doesn't look like anybody is at this camp currently. You will notice that there is a forest, but it's a good clip away. Like, we're talking a couple of miles away. So... it's probably unlikely that they just walked off and left this stuff here unless they just did not care about it. You are going to notice a bedroll spread out with a couple of rocks anchoring the corners down so the wind doesn't blow at it. You're also going to notice some footprints. Most of it's kind of a grassy patch, but there is kind of a muddy area about 2 or 3 feet above the bedroll. And you're going to notice that there is quite a large pack, which either meant this person was just traveling heavy, for a long distance type of thing, or they just acquired a bunch of stuff and they were making for a town.
Maybe a thief's stash?
Could be.
So while still invisible, I'm going to look at the tracks and see if it's like, can I tell? Is it obvious that they walked away? I have to like analyze it further to see like, oh, it looks like they walked away or something took them.
Give me a little investigation.
Oh, not my best. No. Oh, nope.
Oof. Oof. So, okay. You're going to see a number of footprints kind of crisscrossing. There is going to be the freshest set looks to be 2 or maybe 3 pairs of boots walking away from this particular camp. With that 6, you're going to notice something almost, it's like out of the corner of your eye, you're going to notice something. You're going to notice that there's some blood up by the top right-hand corner of this bedroll.
Wow, with a 6? I got that with a 6? Wow, very generous. Brylin will see the blood and kind of go, oh, my. And kind of look at it a little closer, see all the different boots, and just kind of thinking to himself, well, maybe they're dead. And then he's going to start rummaging through the pack.
Excellent. Okay. So, here's what you're going to find in this pack. As Braylon is... So, I imagine the rest of the team is back by that tree. You're not really watching Braylon, but, like, if you're watching that camp, you're going to notice the bag start to kind of move by itself, and sort of, like, there's probably... Oh, go ahead.
I was going to ask if things are, like, floating around.
Yeah, it's probably going to be, like this sack is tied at the top, like, almost like a drawstring type thing. So, like, you're going to see it, like, open up and yeah. So, if you reach into this, there's a lot of stuff that you're going to kind of move aside or just maybe even take out. I don't know how leisurely you're being about this.
I'm being very quiet, as best quiet as I can be.
Okay, so you're probably moving stuff to the side, right? So... First thing, you're going to see a wineskin sitting on top.
That's cool. I'm taking that.
Okay. So that's different than a water skin. Usually wineskins are a little more fancy and decorated usually. And it's again, that creature comfort thing of like, man, I just, it's not hard alcohol. It's like, I just want a little sip with dinner or something like that. And moving more stuff aside, you're going to see rations, like untouched rations sealed up. You're going to see a water skin. You're going to see a second bedroll that's untouched. And as you're reaching past, there's this stuff in a container. And it looks to be like a moss or a fungus, something like that. But it's in a sealed container. And there's something sparkly at the bottom of this sack.
You don't even have to. Of course, he reaches for, grabs a sparkly thing. It's like, oh, okay. Wow.
This is interesting. There is a black robe at the bottom of this thing, and it's probably going to be too big for Braylon, but this black robe has what looks to be flecks of red gemstones sewn into it. So depending on how the light catches it, this is a very gaudy robe. This is like, we're talking pro wrestling entrance attire. Like it's very, very, you know, eye catching. And if you pick up this robe and kind of unfurl it and look at it, obviously a lot of time and attention was put into it. It's probably worth, I mean, to the right person, it's probably worth a bunch. You might have to look for a while to sell it to somebody, but it looks like it's, you know, there's like a big hood that you can like pull up and stuff. It's not really meant for the outdoors. It's clearly maybe, like for a ritual or something, like it might be priestly or something. It's weird. Braylon's never seen it before.
He's rolling it up, putting it in his bag, taking the moss jar thing, putting that in his bag, and then going backwards very slowly back to the camp. And when he gets to his friends, uninvisibling, yeah, it just pops up. Hey, look what I found. He's going to hold up the robe and just kind of move it around.
Okay. So you're kind of like shaking it. Like it's like, oh, look how it shimmers, that type of thing. Interesting. A couple of things are going to fall out of the robe, like it was rolled up in it. And there's going to be some like pocket squares, like decorative pocket squares that are kind of crumbled up and they're going to sort of hit the ground. And a couple of other objects are going to fall out, but they're going to kind of hit the ground with a thud, and they're wrapped up. It sounds like bits of metal clanging against each other.
He's going to look at this stuff. Yeah, I didn't know those were in there.
So are the gems that are woven into the cloak, are they any kind of pattern, or are they just sort of like, is it just bedazzled?
It's almost, okay, do you know those pillows that like you play with at Walmart where you brush it one way and it's like red and shiny, and then the other way and it's just kind of like black? Something like that.
So obnoxious.
Wow. Jamie loves those.
I do. You, it's technically called mermaid sequins, but I was being quiet.
I'll roll religion on it.
Okay. Do it. Wow. So that's a one.
That's a nice coat. You done got a good coat there.
Can I cast detect magic?
You sure can.
Okay. I'm going to do that.
Okay. There doesn't seem to be anything magical. Nothing innately mystical or powerful about this. It just looks like a gaudy robe.
What about the stuff that fell on the floor or on the ground?
So, okay. Again, those decorative pocket squares, they almost like handkerchiefs type of thing. So a couple of those are balled up, and then the handkerchief that fell and that kind of had a metallic sound, that is also not going to have anything particularly magical about it.
Just making sure.
Braylon would also pull out, oh yeah, and this, and the container with the moss in it, and hand it to Callie. You can look at this stuff, right?
Yeah. Do I need to roll a nature, Jason?
Please do.
Okay. It's not as good as my reception, guys, so, you know, we all have our flaws.
Then rolls a 20.
You're killing it. Thank you. Sorry, Lark.
It's okay.
This is actually, depending on who you talk to, kind of a delicacy. This is something that you find in very moist caverns. It's a type of edible fungus that is usually associated with drow cooking.
Okay.
So it's been called a lot of things. Like, there are a lot of derogatory phrases for drow. Yes. That being said, it tastes awful, but it's basically just another type of ration. You can add it to certain cooking and, kind of give it a little kick.
Okay.
Again, it's an acquired taste, but some people pay big money for that.
What's it called?
A lot of people just call it like a rock fungus, something like that.
Oh.
Again, yeah, it's very common in damp caves, but it has to age for a certain amount of years before it changes colors. So it kind of has this blue-green quality to it.
Mm-hmm.
It almost reflects light. It's got a very, like, it's got a very distinctive, you could tell if someone picked it too, like they kind of scraped it too young, mm-hmm. Because it'll have like a greenish gray quality to it.
Okay. And so this stuff is still needs some aging or is aged?
That's, you could eat that right now if you wanted to.
Oh, okay. So it's been around for a bit.
Yeah. It's been, yeah, it's probably about a pound if you had to guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's a blue cheese.
Yes. Think of it. Yes. It's an acquired taste.
Well, we should sell that.
She'll probably make it, like, she'll inspect it, make a face. And just say, it's like a cooking herb almost. It's not very good, though.
Hmm. Okay. And he'll pocket it if you're not using it, if you're not going to hold on to it.
Yeah, she'll give it back if he wants to take it.
Yeah, he'll just take it and put it in his pack.
Calden will reach for whatever closest thing fell out nearest to him and pick it up and ask Braylon, was there any sign of violence?
Hmm? What? Oh, yeah. There's blood on the bedroll and a bunch of boots going everywhere, and there's a big forest behind there. I don't know. Someone probably got beat up and kidnapped.
Calden will look at everyone else and be like, this may warrant that we take a closer look. I mean, this is somebody's stuff. Not saying that they're not going to need it anymore, but if something happened out here, we might want to know.
Well, I mean, I left them their water and food.
Yeah, Largo will kind of just shrug after a minute and start tromping over toward the campsite.
And Colin will go with him.
Okay, you said you picked up some items off the ground?
Yeah, just whatever fell out that was close.
Yeah, I guess the only thing that really fell out was those handkerchiefs and stuff, and they're kind of balled up. And honestly, here's the thing. Give me a perception check.
Okay.
Well,
I start unwrapping it as we were walking over just to like see what's inside it.
Okay, sure. So, you know what? Let's say that you kind of skirt the two balled up handkerchiefs, because who wants to touch that? Honestly, it looks like there was some phlegm on them and a little blood. So, like, let's say you just went, and passed on that and picked up the heavier, look like something's clearly wrapped. So, if you unwrap that on your way back to the campsite, two things are going to fall out. One is a ring. It looks like a signet ring, something like that. And there appears to be some sort of head or like a skeletal head, not a human skull, sort of an elongated skull with horns that wrap around it. And it's kind of a bulky, almost like a Super Bowl ring type of thing.
Oh, the ring?
Yes.
The ring is in the shape of a skull?
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
And a key is also going to fall out. A big, like a fairly sizable iron key. And right at the top, where you'd grip it and turn, there are numbers sort of etched in. Like the key was designed with this in mind, not like something someone engraved after the fact. And the numbers 4, 2, 3 are going to appear.
Ooh, like appear on it? Like magically?
Here's the thing. What it looks like is kind of like the robe where, depending on how the light catches it, this is going to be sort of like etched in, kind of a light, like a pale blue, like a shimmer.
Mm-hmm. Colin will show these to Larg as we're going over and say, some strange trinkets. Do they look like any symbols of any kind of church or anything?
That's a great question. I don't know how much numerology is in our religions, but I'll roll religion again if I can.
You know what? Go for it.
Hey.
Hey.
Wow, that's like the opposite of what you did.
Almost a crit.
So the numbers aren't going to jump out to Larg. but that skull shape is. And what this looks like is a particular type of demon skull.
Okay.
So this is probably part of, like, someone who might be in an exclusive club, let's say, of demon worshippers.
Yeah, or a cult.
Or a cult.
Perhaps. Okay. He'll just kind of point and be like, that's a demon. And keep walking.
Colin will, like, stop. Well, it'll be like that thing where, like, the camera stops and Larg just walks past Colin and just stops. And he just wraps it back up in the handkerchief real quick. And takes a look at this key. Is there anything else on this key? Or is it just those numbers?
It looks like a big skeleton key, like the most key-shaped key you've ever seen. Like, it looks like it either opens a very large door or something with a big friggin' lock on it.
Okay. I guess we go over to campus, see if there's anything with a big old lock on it.
So, walking back to this camp, you're gonna see everything Braylon said. There are multiple sets of footprints floating up near the, not floating, but in the mud, up near the bedroll itself. On the corner of the bedroll, the top right-hand corner, there's going to be like a little bit of blood. If you were to get, you know what, someone give me an investigation check. You're really looking at this bedroll, let's say, because that's where the blood is.
I'll give it a whack.
Yeah,
give it a go.
Do it. Oh, wow. Yeah, okay. That's good. That's much better. Okay, so you're going to notice that blood is mixed in with this yellowish phlegm, too. Judging by the position of this, this person may have been coughing violently, and that's what's on the bedroll, like if they were laying on their side. So it doesn't look like, it may not have been assault, is the thing.
Gotcha.
Yeah. You're also going to notice something else. Remember how I said that there were some rocks anchoring down this bedroll to make sure that it doesn't kind of blow around in the wind?
Oh, no, they're in a pentagram.
No. It's just like two rocks down at the bottom. There is a bit of paper, like a bit of parchment sticking out from under one of the rocks, like just a little bit of like a dog-eared corner.
Yeah, Colin will go down and see if he can see. Is there writing on it or anything?
So if you lift up... If you lift up this rock, which is like a softball size rock, something like that.
Pick it up, drop it on the ground. Poof.
The parchment has a red X on it, and it appears as though this was created using blood.
A big bloody X.
Now, if you'd like, you could roll to see if you'd know what that was or if you'd ever heard of something like this, that type of thing.
Yeah. Can I do that?
Yeah, please.
See what it is. If I know what this marking is.
Yeah. So if you want, you can just give me a flat, like a wisdom.
Gotcha.
Shit. That's pretty good. So this dips into some weird territory. There's a group called the Collectors.
Oh my God.
And these people have a history that dates back perhaps hundreds of years, because there's weird, almost boogeyman-esque stories that people tell around campfires. There's a written history of these people who essentially steal other people. It's been said that they perform experiments. It's been said that they've released plagues. There's all kinds of weird stuff attributed to them. The craziest thing about them is no one's ever seen one. No one's ever seen any people that they know for sure are a member of this clan. But they do leave behind a note just like the one you're holding. Every single time they abduct somebody, it's somewhere in the area. Sometimes it's behind like a rock, like you picked up. Sometimes it's on the person's possessions that's left behind. Sometimes it's crammed in between bricks and a wall, but it's always there.
So they leave this calling card.
Yep.
Calden will look at this, realize there's that it's made with blood. It'll click in his head, and he'll call out to Larg and say, "Larg, we should get out of here."
Yeah, okay. And as they kind of turn to go, I assume that we're both like right up in the center of this thing when he finds that. In the center of the camp.
Yeah, I imagine you're all pretty much right on top of each other.
I'm just going to fire off a divine sense and see if I can pick up any kind of like supernatural evil since there's a demon ring involved.
Sure. Yeah. That's actually a good call.
So within 60 feet, I can detect, let me read it. Sorry. The presence of strong evil registers on your senses like a noxious odor, and powerful good rings like heavenly music in your ears. 60 feet, celestial fiend, undead. Yeah, that's basically it.
Right. So here's the creepy part about all this. It would be so easy to write this off as supernatural or someone bartering with something that they just got in over their heads or something like that. Not only do this person's possessions not ring of anything magical, there's nothing in the area that would suggest that this is demonic or that anything in the area has been touched by demonic power. This is just people, it appears.
Mm. The ring doesn't ping either, huh?
Nope.
Okay. Okay, yeah, he won't really say anything, but he'll turn around and walk back with Cal in a little bit of a hurry. Okay, time to go. Nothing to see.
Yeah, we get back to the group, and Calden says, "I think we should make haste down the road."
Why? Are they dead?
I don't know. This place was visited by people called the Collectors, or a group called the Collectors. They take people, they disappear them, they do experiments on them, or they leave plague or sickness. Whatever is here, whoever was taken, whatever they're a part of, we don't want to be a part of it.
Hey, when you say like they leave sickness, he's going to look at the robe that's in his pack and kind of look back with like a surprised and frightened face. Should I throw this away?
I don't know. I don't, unless you really like it, I don't see any reason to keep it.
Berlin immediately takes it out and just kind of throws it in near, like in the, under the tree, just tosses it aside, away.
Yeah, Lark's actually going to cast Lesser Restoration on Braylon, which will cure minor diseases. So if it's a big one, then I can't help, but if it's a little one...
He feels good. Oh, it's like drinking Sunny Delight. All right.
Tastes like peppermint.
So you guys want to keep going?
Yes, get the fuck out of here.
Okay, but like, how much money was that rope worth?
It doesn't matter. How many?
Do you want to?
Karen wants to know.
Okay, then Callie, let's say you were just eyeballing that robe, right?
Yeah.
Do me a favor, give me a wisdom check, just to kind of like, it's like, hey, I mean, those materials, based on talking to merchants, what could we get out of that? Well, that's a 16. Okay. So, a conservative estimate. Let's say it might take you a while to find a buyer, because that is, it's a gaudy robe, right? We're talking like Elton John levels of gaudy. But you could probably get about 750 gold for that.
Why did you open the book,
Karen? I'm already thinking of the most perfect buyer.
Open the book.
I'm just thinking I could buy some nice horses.
Yes.
Not if you're coughing up blood phlegm.
Is there... I just don't want to be meta about it. Like, I'm just trying to figure out if there's any way to tell if it's, like, infected. But that, I feel like that would be kind of meta to play it that way.
Throw it in water. If it floats, it's a witch.
That's science.
I think, I mean, even if we don't find, like, it's got rubies on it. Like, even if somebody doesn't want to buy the cloak, you just sell the rubies. This is
completely
a hard
up to you.
I'm so sorry.
No, it's, hey, just think about it. You could totally leave it here under this tree forever. Leave it behind.
I don't think Callie would pick it back up, but I think she would just kind of like look over to Tatiana and be like, "That's worth a lot of money."
Damn it!
Walk away.
My only thing was that Tati would think this was like a gaudy piece of garbage, but if you tell her it's worth a lot of money, she'll sort of eye the robe and just say, I mean, how much money?
If you found the right buyer, probably around 750 gold.
Eyes wide, Tatiana is going to go over to this robe that Braylon just tossed and sort of like find something in her inventory that she doesn't need anymore. Let me see.
Well, this medicine I don't need.
Yeah. I was thinking more like some sort of like bag or I don't know. I mean, I have a backpack, but I assume all this other stuff is in there, so.
Yes.
let's see. Yeah, I don't really have anything to put it in.
You could just shove it in with the rest of your stuff.
Wait, wasn't there that extra, there was that extra bedroll? I mean, we don't know about that. But really,
yeah.
You could, like, wrap it up in the other
bedroll. I mean, I could use my bedroll. Do I have a bedroll?
Of course. Every good adventure has a bedroll.
Yeah, but then you have to sleep on that.
It's true.
Or I just won't use it.
Okay.
That's true.
Yeah, I'll just do that. Because she knows that there's a possibility of it being infected now because of everything we just talked about. So she's definitely not going to touch it.
Right. So, okay, that's in Tatiana's inventory. Here, you know what? I am going to add that to your inventory right now.
What are you going to call it?
It's a gem-studded robe.
Right there, oh, nice.
There we go. It's right in your... Yeah, you're not wearing it, so...
Well,
there you go. Guess what, guys? I got good news for you.
Yeah.
You're about 2 hours out from Elden Bright Cavern.
Oh.
Now, if you're still interested, it's a little off the beaten path. You're about 2 hours east of it. So this involves basically getting off the main road and kind of going out in the middle of nowhere. But if you're still interested, you could find some low tassel and bull moss. These are two ingredients that you would need to concoct a potion that could bring Braylon's memories back. Save you a lot of headache.
Yes. I had a headache once, and then I lost my memory.
Now, you can either go to Eldenbright Cavern, or you can continue on the road south.
I mean, we said we were going to stop if we found it, right?
Yeah.
Finding this place is, you were told it's a little out of the way. So here's what we're going to do. I would imagine, since you're going off the beaten path, it's pretty much on Callie, because she's wilderness chick.
Always and forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. So you know what? Give me a survival check.
All right. Oh, God. I swear to God, if these days screw me over right now, this second, I'm going to cry.
That's not bad. Man, you got a
plus 7.
Wow, plus 7. Damn.
You're so good all about stuff. It.
That wisdom, though.
So, there is a bit of hunting and pecking around. But I would say, By the time dusk is hitting you guys, Callie is going to find what she perceives to be the entrance to Eldenbright Cavern.
Why do you have to say it like that? What she perceives to be?
Well, I mean, okay. It's a cavern. It's not like there's a sign up.
That's true.
It's not a tourist trap. But I mean, based on everything that Callie's been told, it's like this seems like the place. I have a good feeling.
Okay. I mean, I'm down. Let's do it.
Before we go in, I think Tatiana would ask Callie, like, okay, so I've never been, like, deep cave diving before. Do we need to worry about any specific stuff in here?
Oh, boy, do you. Same. I feel like that's Jason's response. Oh, boy, do you.
That was a great impersonation. I thought it was Thank Jason.
You. Thank you. So... Yes.
Is that the response? Just, yeah.
Yes. Yes. And then walks away, not answering.
Well, so I imagine, right, mm-hmm. that Callie has in her past been in some deep caves.
Oh, sure.
Because there's caves in the Evergreen.
Oh, dude, Alara's littered with them. Lousy with caves.
So... Yeah, so do I have to roll a nature check, or are you just going to tell us what we need to look out for?
Here's the thing. There's such a wide variety of things. What I want to do is I want you to roll a flat d10. Now, the higher the number, the better Callie's past experiences in caves have been, which means you probably didn't run into too much crazy stuff. The lower the number... We're talking, like, at a one, Callie barely escaped with her life.
Okay, here we go. You said a 10, right?
You're hoping for a low roll on this one.
Well, I mean, like, you said a d10, right? Oh,
yes, a d10. Oh, that's an 8. So, Callie would know a few things, right? There are certain creatures that are very light sensitive, so they don't venture outside of caves. Goblins are the big one. Goblins are a pain in the ass. These things can run up walls. They usually hunt in packs. They're just, if they are in a place, they're like bees. You don't usually see one bee. There's a hive. Like, there's just, they're all over. So, goblins are a pain in the ass, but they're one of the most humanoid creatures you'll find in caves. There are all kinds of oozes and jellies and mosses and all kinds of stuff that are kind of shapeless pools in the shadows in caves. One of the biggest things you got to worry about is just getting turned around, because caverns aren't set up for you to traverse. They're naturally forming things. So you could get lost and turn around in a cave pretty easily if you're not prepared. And people starve to death. So
that's good.
Yeah, that's a
okay.
thing.
Okay.
Well, so I think she would definitely explain a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then she'd be like, y'all got dark vision? Is that a thing? Like, can y'all see in the dark?
Well, as, like, you're explaining all of these horrors and night terrors, because Tatiana is a city girl and likes to deal with, like, thugs and criminals, her eyes are just going to get wide, and she's going to sort of, like... back away and say no dark vision.
Okay. Lug will raise his hand. I do.
I can see in the dark.
I do want to bring something up again. This is with an 8. There are things in the deep dark.
Oh, just let baby. Us live in our fantasy.
Did you know that there are insects in Theria that like to burrow into children to incubate? Hey,
we know about one that burrows underground and rips arms off.
That's true.
Well, I don't remember that, but...
I've heard of Olivia and Theria. I know. There are things. Jason, we've had this conversation. I don't do bugs.
Well, you might have to today.
We don't have. We're none of us are children, so we're fine.
Yeah,
I
fine.
Mean, I am mistaken for a child.
Oh, okay.
Well, all the time.
We'll run out and get a child real quick and then
just hold a baby out in front of you.
So will I not be able to see if we go in the cave? Will I need to light a torch?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry,
probably several.
Callie will ask you, though, do you have, like, any... Because you're kind of like a roguey. Well, you are a rogue, but... do you have, like, any, like, chalk or something that we could write with so we can mark our way?
So, spelunking, or cave exploring in general, is pretty much like any other thing. Like, if you're going to trek through the swamp, you're going to need certain gear and expertise. If you're going mountain climbing, it's the same thing. So, yeah, there are terrible things in the dark. And yes, you have no idea what kind of cavern, because basically you're throwing a dart at the dartboard. You're not really sure what's in this place. It could be one of any, you know, number of 100 things. But... you do have someone who's seen a few things, so that's cool. You got a guide.
And who knows, we could take one step in and find everything we're looking for, and then we can go along on our merry way. But no, I don't have any chalk. Sorry.
Calden will pull out a dagger and say, it's not chalk, but we could make markings along the walls. Scratch some kind of symbol or something, an arrow.
Yeah, that will work.
How far into the cave do we need to go? How easily obtainable is this thing that grows?
Probably not very far, huh?
Well, you did roll for it, and you do know something about these. So they tend to grow in deeper, moister spots. So usually, if you get lucky, there's a body of water, and that would be great. But usually there's some kind of moisture or humidity that kind of pools, and you're probably, it's not going to be by the entrance, most likely. But it doesn't necessarily mean that it's, you know, 18 levels deep and stuff.
I mean, it did just rain, so maybe we'll get lucky.
Maybe some fresh body of water.
Yeah.
So, yeah. This is going to be fun.
Let's go. Let's do it. Let's do it. What are we waiting for? Let's get in there. Let's die, dude. Fuck it.
All right. Wow. Wow.
Not quite the pep talk.
Well, Calden will be like, I know it'll be dark. It'll be dangerous, but we've got to do this for Braylon. This is the only place to get this. We can't leave here empty-handed. And he'll start walking towards the cave.
Braylon will speak up. So you guys want me to wait here, or...
Oh, for you. You're coming with us.
Go invisible, Braylon.
Here's the thing. Okay, I'm not here to metagame for you. I would advise not going invisible in the cave.
I'm not planning on doing so. I can only do that at the max. Oh, I have third level spells. Pff, I could do it all day. What's that?
as soon as Braylon says, hey, should I stay out here? Larg will pick him up and carry him under his arm like a pillow.
Watch your head, though.
Okay.
Tatiana is going to sort of like pull something out because she was looking for something to mark before, and she's going to pull out this string and just say, should we all stay connected? I don't know. I've never done this before. She's like basing this on things she's read.
Aww.
Well, since Callie and Larg have dark vision, should we have us on either end of the caravan? Have all the blindies in the middle?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see in the dark, but I'll go in the middle, you know.
You're like so offended. Well, I can also see.
Excuse me.
No, no, that's a good idea.
Okay, that's fine. And she'll tuck her string back in her pocket.
Aw. There's something about that that's so sweet.
You'll be okay. Just stay close.
All right, here we go. You know what I appreciate about you guys? How brave you are.
Why would you say that?
Well, okay, hold on. Callie told you all about this stuff, and you're heading into this cave as the sun's setting? I just want to give you props. Like, you guys...
Oh, shit, the sun's setting.
Oh, you're whoops. Doing a great... You're doing a great job.
No matter what time of day it is.
That's a good point.
True. And...
Who's this herb for?
If it's the sun setting, anything in that cave is going to be coming out.
Oh, yikes.
Look, that's a half glass half empty mindset. And I was again, this is you guys flinching again, and I'm trying to pay you a compliment.
That's fine. I want to roll a fighter next time anyway, so that's okay.
A fighter who wields two Braylons.
Two Braylons. Yeah.
Braylon
two wields Braylons.
But they're always invisible.
That's a very cool weapon.
That is cool. Someone draw that. Okay.
It's invisible.
Two Braylons. Two invisible Braylons. Done.
It's just a chain.
The easiest, yeah.
No, stealing it. It's done.
All right. So you guys are motioning into this cave now. This is, one, obviously very dark, as most caves are. And as you leave the light behind from the entrance, you're going to be presented with a plethora of options. Now, obviously, you're probably going to want to start heading down. Any pathway that looks like it kind of slopes down. There's probably, off the bat, there's probably a lot of slippery edges that you're going to have to step down and do some climbing. So right off the bat, you kind of know that this cave, you're going to have to watch your step here and there. I'd say the first 10 minutes or so as you wrap around these ways, you're going to have to probably do some light. It's like, ooh, watch your step here. You're holding torches for people who don't have dark vision, that type of thing. And as you hold your torch out, you're going to see the light touching these rocks are very slick. They're shiny.
That's good. Yes, that's good.
That is good.
This is good.
It's good, but a little dangerous. So just, yeah, be careful. So you are going to continue on for a while, and you're going to be presented with a choice. There's a right path, a left path, and a path that leads straight ahead. And again, you've been traveling for probably 10, 15 minutes at this point.
I'll put my hand on Callie and just say, can you hear any water?
You could give me a perception check.
Okay.
God.
Ooh. Ooh. So... Callie, everyone's going to shut up for just a minute. So you're going to hear the burning of torches and stuff like that. How many torches do you have lit? Just to check. Two? Three?
Four? I would guess two, right?
Two? Okay.
I would probably have at least suggested a couple.
Yeah, so one at the front, one in the back, that type of thing?
Yeah.
Okay, but you're bunched up on each other. Everyone's lit. Okay, good, good. So everyone, it's kind of like, hold on. Let me listen. And Callie's going to almost looks like she zones out for a good 20 seconds or so. Callie's going to hear running water. But she can't quite tell from which direction it's coming from. It's either straight ahead or maybe to the right.
Let's go straight. I'm just going to make a decision.
So, are you telling that to the group with confidence? Like, oh, it's definitely straight, or?
I think she would say, I hear water. Uh-huh. I think it may be this way. And that's as much confidence as she's going to have.
Okay.
Calden will put his hand on the wall of where she's heading. Do the rocks feel any wetter?
It kind of has a damp quality throughout, so there's going to be sections of these cavern walls where there's like a trickle of water every once in a while. There you probably hear like little drips every once in a while, but I wouldn't say that it feels any wetter this way. The water that Callie hears is definitely in the far distance.
Gotcha. Okay.
Okay.
Callie, I'll follow right behind her.
Call him a shot.
Love it.
Tatiana is closely following behind, probably holding on to whoever is in front of her to make sure she doesn't lose her step.
Yeah, same with Braylon, because he's tiny. He will easily fall in a hole or get lost.
I was assuming I was still carrying him.
Oh, that's even better. That's even better.
Just holding him up like a torch?
Just holding him like a football.
I would probably just be riding on the back of his head.
Just watch out for stalactites.
Yeah, I'm dodging him.
So, Callie's leading the charge here. So what we're going to do is you guys are going to walk for another 5 minutes or so. And you're going to start descending again. And this time, these rocks are it's very sheer, right? It's, the other ones had a large surface area that you can kind of spread out on and you go, oh, careful. There's kind of a sheer drop off. So if you were to fall, you'd be sliding down for quite a bit.
Mm.
So if you could do me a favor and just give me an athletics check.
Oh, Jesus.
Just an athletics check. This isn't a high one. This is like, hey, you'd have to beef it pretty hard.
Damn, Xena Warrior Princess.
Yeah. So not only do you succeed, but you're going to guide everybody else down smooth as butter. You look like $1 million right now. You know what you're doing. You're leading everybody through. It's like, hey, I got this. Do me a favor and give me a perception check. Just real quick.
Okay. Okay.
Good. Ahead of you, you're going to notice that this roof looks unsteady. Like, so much so that it looks like the slightest motion near it, a wrong step, something like that, this roof could cave in. It looks like a lot of rocks at one point tried to fall, and so many tried to fall at once that they all caught each other.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So you have a choice ahead of you. You could either turn back, go back the way you came, and maybe head right. You could try and just slip past this and warn everybody. Or you can try and stabilize this roof. But to do that, you're going to have to kind of get under it and maybe prop it up with some sort of wood or something like that.
Mm, or we could cause it to cave in while we're a safe distance away.
That's true. You could do that too.
Oh, that's a good
idea.
But
that could block your path.
Well, I won't know. Alex is just saying this. Braylon wouldn't know.
Well, I think that Callie would voice the concern to the group. Like,
Put it up to the vote.
Yeah, like, this is not stable. We can keep going, but you have to be really careful. And who knows when it can drop. So we could keep going, or maybe we try one of the other tunnels.
Do any of us hear water more prominently now that we're a little further in?
Give me a perception roll.
No.
I wouldn't say that it would stand out to you. I think the torches would get in your way. Like, just, there's too much static, too much white noise.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So, what's the group thinking?
We should turn back. Yeah, there's more than... This isn't the only route. There's still other chances to find the things that we need.
Yeah. Okay. There was that other tunnel that the water may have been coming from, too. I wasn't, exactly sure. So we could try that one, and hopefully there's no collapses that way.
I love it. Let's go.
Cool.
Okay. So you're going to navigate your way back up because you so expertly did it the first time. You're going to go, mind your footing, that type of thing, and kind of climb your way up. Everyone's kind of supporting each other. It's much easier to go up than down. And you're going to get back to the room you were, and you're going to head down that passage to the right. And immediately, like 4 or 5 minutes in, you're going to start to hear running water a little more clearly. It's like, oh wait, no, this, we're on the right track. Okay.
Much better, guys.
You're nailing it. Now, Callie.
Yeah.
I want you to do me a favor.
Uh-huh.
Mm. Now you're at the depth where you're going to start to see things.
Yeah.
And we're about to find out what kind of cavern you guys are in. Now, there's all kinds of things that could be in here. What I'd like you to do is roll a D100 for me.
Oh, holy shit.
Okay.
97.
That's really close to the bottom of the list. Or the top. Depends on which way he made it.
I'm so nervous.
You should have asked which end was good.
Yeah.
neither one.
Yeah, throw that. Yeah. It's 100 bad options.
There's actually a unicorn hidden in here, and it's going to attack Calden and I, and we're all dying.
Oh, shit. That
could be fun. Will thunderclap him into a rubble pile of rocks.
You know, you gotta stop with the thunder.
Don't thunderclap me while I'm blind. I'm already blind. I can't be deaf too.
Okay, just stand behind me.
All right.
She's already got tinnitus.
Bad. Oh, it's for sure. Bad.
100%.
Callie is gonna see a figure up ahead. Again, this cavern's going to start to open up a bit, and it's very green, very mossy in here. And there's a lot of slick rock that's angled downward, almost into like a pit. And the cavern kind of continues about 30 feet beyond that. So it looks like there's a lot of mossy crap you have to step past, and then the cavern proper continues on the other side. And it looks like there's a woman laying in the middle of this mossy patch. It appears to be drow and just sort of sprawled out. Lower half looks to be like behind rocks. It's tough to tell from here, maybe buried in rocks, but she's kind of like angled away and laying back, like arms kind of stretched over her head. It looks like she might be unconscious.
Oh.
Or dead.
So,
is she buried in rocks?
Give me a perception check to see.
Me or everyone?
Anyone can do it.
What do I see with my dark vision?
Well, that's a 7. So again, you'd see the figure, and it's like, I can't tell. Like, it's
okay.
Boy, I'm gonna give a bad analogy. You ever visit a Walmart and like you forgot your glasses and you're trying to read the signs up top? It's like, I see signs. I don't know what that says. Does that say housewares? I can't tell. That's a terrible analogy.
You're using a lot of Walmart analogies.
I get it.
I use a lot of... But you know what I'm talking about, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Me when I'm driving.
Why would you not bring your glasses?
Wear your glasses when you're driving.
Oh, I haven't gotten new glasses in like 2 years. I need a new prescription.
Well, go! Get them!
Bring your glasses for your meetup.
She's got to drive there. That's the problem.
Oh, I see. It's a catch-22.
Okay.
So, what's the plan?
Well, Callie would stop the group because there's a figure in this cave. And she would say, that she's like, there's somebody in here. But I don't know if she's like, she's on the ground. And I think she would just like, be like, hello.
You're no longer team leader. You're fired for being team leader.
I don't want to get too close.
Is that the moss we need, though?
I don't know.
Oh, you motherfucker. You do know.
I have a question.
Yeah?
I'm now, like, confused on the timeline of the past, like, 5 seconds.
Sure.
Is this the same day that we saw the camp, or is that the day before?
Same day. It's just later that evening.
I mean, like, how far away is it from, like, are we, like, a mile away? Or it's been like, oh, no, those two couldn't possibly be related.
I mean, you're you're miles away from that. You're hours away walking. So mm-hmm. like if they were connected, it would have to be a stunning coincidence.
Okay.
Well, they got the drow food. Right? Sorry. We got the drow mushroom. This person's a drow, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I see the connection you're making, I think.
Yeah. I got you.
Or not even that, just like a person's dead and though they take people.
Mm. So you're calling out.
Yeah.
So this person isn't going to move.
Okay, good. I was afraid. Really quick, is this the moss that we need? Are these the droids we're looking for?
Give me a little, you know what? Give me a flat D10.
Okay.
That is the moss you are looking
Holy
for.
Holy yes!
Yes! Let's get the
Karen,
fuck out!
You are on fire today.
You're leader again.
You're leader again.
Welcome back, dude.
It's the Starship Troopers thing of you're it until you're dead or we find someone better. So, we're reaching into this pit and we're grabbing some moss, right?
Yep.
Okay, let's do it.
Just moss, nothing else.
Okay, so, the second you touch this moss...
No!
That body is going to start to move, but here's the thing. Weirdly so. Like, it's like the lower half is being pulled away. What's going to happen is you're going to see these spider-like legs start to angle around that rock.
Oh, shit.
And this creature, man, it's tough to describe, but it is almost as if this upper half of a person is mounted to a scorpion slash spider, but the person half is just sort of deadly flopping. Could you do me a favor, roll a nature check for me?
This is terrifying. I don't want to know.
You're still on fire, though. You're still
perfect. You know exactly what this is. This is a Doracha. It is a type of insect, very large, by the way. It senses vibrations and uses its upper half that looks like a person to lure people next to it.
Ew.
And I think that's a pretty good time for us to stop.
That's very good.
Oh my god.
Wow.
Well, I just gotta get out of here alive, and Braylon's got his memory back.
Yeah.
Well, look at it this way. If we can make friends with it, it can join our party.
That's true.
we have to give it somebody.
Well, just a reminder, you got one ingredient that you need.
Yeah, there's a second thing in here.
Right.
Whew, we hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you don't listen to this ending spiel normally, you might want to stick around for just a minute because there's a couple of announcements that you might not catch if you don't follow our social media on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that good stuff. Obviously, we just posted our Vampire the Masquerade game, our very first chapter of that, up on Patreon at patreon.com/DANDR. People really seem to like it, which is a huge relief. It was a brand new thing we've never done before. We've never played Vampire the Masquerade, and we've never played a game set in Earth, basically, like a modern times Earth. And I'm really happy that you guys like it. So thank you for all the kind words about that. We're going to keep cranking them out, it looks like. Also, there was a little something posted on our YouTube channel that some very, very tenacious and intelligent listeners are picking at right now. I highly encourage you guys to go check out a little video called Breathe. It's only like 40, 50 seconds long, and it's posted on our YouTube. And if you are interested in picking it that further, there will be tons of stuff posted on our social media in the weeks to come. And our Discord server is alight with speculation. There's even a channel dedicated to picking at this mystery. And I wish you guys all the luck in the world. The person who solves it is going to be very happy. That's all I'm going to say. In the meantime, if you guys could rate us on iTunes, spread the word to everybody, and just keep being really, really cool people and being supportive. Thank you guys so much. We will see you next week with a brand new episode. Until then, take care, everyone. Bye.